It is time now for Green Visions, a KUMD production to encourage green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by the family-owned Duluth Grill. I'm not actually thinking green as I introduce our next guest. I have to confess, I'm kind of thinking yellow, like the sun. Catherine Millen is the founder and director of Solar Commons, and she joins us this morning to tell us a little bit about the program. Catherine, good morning, and thanks so much for being with us.
Hi, Lisa. It's good to be with you.
Your website is absolutely fantastic. And if you looked only at the website and didn't read any of the text, you'd be a little bit bewildered, perhaps, about what the website is for. And you might even wonder if it is a website about art. Art does indeed figure into your organization called Solar Commons. But what I also think is fascinating is that it's been a long time on Northland Morning, if ever, since we were talking about feudal land systems and a similar kind of model. So I'm really glad that we're kind of pushing our envelope this morning a little bit. Talk a little bit about the idea of common lands and how you've translated that to common solar.
Okay, great question. And, you know, I'm an anthropologist. I'm a legal anthropologist. So I study, in particular, how people share things that belong to everyone or belong to them in a community. So I've been looking at that in international law, you know, the high seas, the oceans, the internet, things like that, but also I've looked at it in smaller scale societies. How do people before, especially before the modern era, in small scale societies, what kinds of governance structures and rule making did they have to equitably share things? So, you know, the Solar Commons really is using some of the oldest forms of property law in the English common law tradition. That's trust law. And trust law was really, you know, set up when the king, who owned all the land in feudal England, had set aside that really belonged to the landless peasants so that they could grow food to feed themselves and their families. So there always was this idea then of a commons, that a shared piece that actually the benefits of which belonged to those that needed it the most. So that idea, trust law, arose in that context. Churches and manors were often the trustees for this land that actually the peasants and future generations of them would use. And the beneficiaries, as I said, were the landless peasants. Well, thinking about how that works today, I mean, trust law was often used to offshore property into the 1980s, became a great tool for that. And then we created the LLC as a new way to own property in the United States and elsewhere. But the revival of trust law for this kind of sharing of things that belong to everyone. So trust law that gives you rules for how to do that sharing so that somebody could be a trustee of something that actually belongs to others, including future generations. So I, as a legal anthropologist, have been looking exactly at that. I look at, you know, conservation easements and land trusts. People can set aside the rights to develop land, put them in a land trust. They can use their land for farming and pass it on to future generations. But the rights to develop it, in particular, develop it around areas of water that need to be protected, that can be put in a land trust and saved, protected for future generations.
So, Catherine, how does this translate to the idea of solar? Land is a lovely thing because you can lean down and pat it, and you know exactly, and it's actually, it has a physical presence, but I guess the sun does also, but sunlight is a little trickier. How does this work?
Well, exactly. You know, the sun belongs to everyone. And the sun that shines, that can create, now that we have the technology of solar energy, photovoltaics, that sunshine And the access that photovoltaics gives us to the sun's energy for electricity should be something that can belong to everyone. The problem is that currently the ownership models for solar energy don't allow low-income people, low-income communities to be beneficiaries, to benefit from the sun as a source of common wealth. So the Solar Commons is exactly that. It's the translation of these older ideas into solar technology. And so the idea is to have solar voltaics that can create electricity. The way we've been doing it is it creates electricity for somebody and savings on their electric bill. And then those savings will be transferred into a trust, and the trust will actually then deliver those savings to its beneficiary. In this case, it's programs that serve in low-income communities. So that's the model using trust law, and the trustee is the host. Often it is the host of the solar asset itself, the solar array.
As I mentioned, this is an absolutely fascinating idea, and one of the things that Solar Commons is also interested in is the idea, as I mentioned, of public art. How is that a piece of the mission?
Right. Well, you know, again, as an anthropologist, I'm very interested in how this kind of rulemaking and sharing is actually something that's known to the whole community, and that community that it's shared with. So I think that the environment, our climate system, things like that, our knowledge about that has become very technical. Scientists are trying to communicate to us the dangers of climate change. Solar technicians and engineers are trying to communicate to us the possibilities we have with solar energy to become 100% renewable with a combination of renewables. So how do we translate that very technical information or knowledge to everyday people who are voters, who can be investors, and others? And I think that public art is going to be one of the key tools for that translation. Therefore, whenever I do a Solar Commons project, I want to make sure that there's public art and that artists work with me to take the very technical things that we've figured out in law and in technology, and we somehow translate that into something that's meaningful and heartfelt through art.
What a fascinating project. I love the idea of translating law and technology, and those are only a couple things that I can think of right offhand, into art. Wow, what a fascinating idea. Now, the first program, the first implementation of the project, took place in Arizona. Do you have anything planned a little closer to us up here? We're thinking a lot about sunshine and the need for sunshine, especially right now.
Absolutely. You know, Duluth is a great place and absolutely needs more solar, but it needs more community solar, community ownership of solar. There are benefits to be had here. I work with others in the community of Duluth to try to change our rule making around how the grid, which I also see as a common, how the grid can be shared, better shared. Right now, communities are not able to come together, pitch in to purchase some solar arrays, and then start creating electricity, selling it into the grid, and becoming their own producers. Now, this is possible in Minneapolis. Voters changed the laws in 2013 for that, and I'm very eager to see that happen in our region, too. So, yes, I have Solar Commons projects planned and waiting to happen in Duluth and in Minneapolis as well. So we are, I should say the other thing is that I'm working with the Vermont Law School Energy Clinic, and the agreements, the legal agreements, all that we work out with the Solar Commons Trust project will be then taken by the Vermont Law School Energy Clinic and made into open source templates so that everybody can start using this and experimenting with this model of trust law for low-income community solar.
Well, this is really exciting, Catherine, and I hope that we have the opportunity to talk with you again, especially perhaps when you announce that you're on your way to Duluth to pitch a project. I think that'd be great.
That sounds great, Lisa. Thanks so much for having me this morning.
Catherine Millen, our guest. She is the founder and the director of Solar Commons. She's also a fellow with the Institute on the Environment at the University of Minnesota. Green Visions on KUMD is made possible in part by the family-owned Duluth Grill, offering homemade and fair trade menu items, and Heritage Window and Door, the Twin Ports supplier for Renewal by Anderson Windows and Doors.